Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
You're listening to the Diener Show podcast. Check out Drew weekdays from 7 until 10 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
Broadcasting live from the Papa John Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Perrin Johnson.
And we are here in the 9 o'clock hour on a Monday with you, 93 in The Ville, ESPN 680. We will have the Kentucky Derby for you. We are your home for the Derby. We'll have that in your exclusive home for the Triple Crown, which, of course, the Derby now just 12 days away.
You excited?
I am excited. I'll break this at the bottom of the hour. I may have Brandon Lang news that this is interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. We'll see. But we'll have to get the serious people on the line right now, like Kent Taylor, who's probably – You TV guys, you work so much during this time of year. I mean, this is you must earn like 5 weeks of comp time during this, right?
A couple days. There's no question.
Yes.
I'm actually at Churchill Downs right now.
Of course you are.
About 7 o'clock this morning.
Right.
Actually, it's been a nice. You know, the weather makes such a difference because you get a nice sunny day like this and everybody's in a better mood. There's actually a decent amount going on out here. We were surprised today that, I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but Bob Baffert was here.
Oh, really? I think I've heard of him.
Downs.
He's got gray, whitish hair. Yeah.
That's the same. Yes, that's the guy. Improbable work, and Baffert flew in to watch the work, and then he's leaving, and he's going to come back. I think he said on Friday, so.
He flew all the way in just to watch the work. I guess that's what he does, but man. That's a long way to go just to watch 48 seconds of action.
He's not. I don't think that was the entirety of the trip. I'm pretty sure he said he was headed to Ocala for the sales after this. So
yeah.
This is like a midway stopping point.
It is. I just sort of feel like it's sort of a starless derby. I mean, exception of Baffert being the star. I mean, he's got to be the star of this year's event. He's the one guy that's recognizable outside of, you know, just horse racing fans, but I don't know. I just sort of feel like it's a starless, you know, field.
Well, you have him with his three legitimate shots, an improbable game winner, and Roadster, who's exciting because he's kind of got that Justify feel to him, and that move in the Santa Anita Derby was just so impressive. So, yeah, you're right. You have him back. Omaha Beach certainly deserves as much hype as he'll get because he's beaten improbable and game winner in his last two races, and he's won three in a row. He's pretty impressive. Maybe we're just a little bit, just based on the fact we've had a Triple Crown winner in two of the last 4 years, maybe we're just a little spoiled.
Kent Taylor with us, Wave 3 Sports here, 93 in The Ville, ESPN 680. It is going to be a lukewarm favorite. I mean, what do you think we get, like 9-2 on whoever, if it's Omaha Beach? I mean, where do you think Omaha Beach ends up going off?
Yeah, I think that's probably about right where it'll start, and because you can make cases for, you know, Tacitus. We just talked to Bill Mott. Tacitus has won three in a row. He's won three of his four starts. Won the Wood Memorial. He's been pretty impressive. You don't hear much talk about him. By my standards, was, you know, coming off the win in the Louisiana Derby. He's had a little bit of a layoff, but he's got the first time trainer. There's a couple of the first time trainer things that those storylines will be. They'll come out over the next couple weeks. Yeah, you're right. There's not an overwhelming, you know, and Omaha Beach is not like you see him and you think, you know, Justify was a pretty impressive.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
He walks off the man and you're like, wow.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Ken, you've covered so many of these. I mean, in seeing these horses get off the van. I mean, Justify is in a class of his own.
Yeah, there have been a few who, and American Pharoah was, he stood out just because he was so, so calm, and I don't know that I've ever seen one like that, where you could go up and pet him. I mean, you know, we came out after he won the Triple Crown. I came out with my kid and got a picture, like, sitting, you know, she's like petting him, you know, just I'm holding her right next to him. That just doesn't happen.
That
hasn't happened before or since. So he was definitely a standout. Justified, yeah, he looked the part. He wowed, you know, all the groups of people who come out to watch these horses in the mornings when he was on the track. They all knew who he was. They didn't have to read the saddle tell.
Yeah, he definitely didn't have to look for a number on that to know which one was him. Well, what do you, I mean, that's, you know, Omaha Beach being the favorite. What other, I mean, you're a guy who's going to be tracking storylines. I mean, what is going to be the storyline for this Derby? I mean, I guess an undeniable portion of it, unfortunately, is going to be the tragedies that have happened in Santa Anita. I think that's, I hate to say it, I think all these parachute journalists that come in from out of town, parachuting and become experts, I think that's what they're all going to gravitate to.
Yeah, that's going to be a big part of it. And Baffert was already asked a couple questions about that today. And I thought it was interesting because he was asked, he said when he went to Oaklawn, when he had to go to Oaklawn for those races, at, when they canceled the San Felipe at Santa Anita, and they were asking him how his horses liked off tracks. And he was like, well, I don't know. If it rained at Santa Anita, he's like, we just didn't go out.
Yeah.
We didn't go on the track. And now he was saying how it's so deep now that, you know, and but he has elected to keep Game Winner and Roadster both worked yesterday at Santa Anita. And the impression I got, I think that maybe that's still a decision to be made whether that final work would come here. He mentioned the 24th and the 27th. He said that the two planes, so they'll be on one of those planes to come here. So I guess that would be a matter of whether or not they get their last work in there or here. But yeah, that's going to be, you're right. I mean, that's the storyline that they'll all gravitate to. Other than that, I think one that I think is interesting is you have these trainers who've accomplished so much, and guys like Richard Mandela and Bill Mott, who are huge names in the sport, but haven't won a Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
And now they're coming in with some very legitimate chances. And then obviously Baffert will dominate the headlines just because that's what he does. And he's got three legitimate chances.
Kent Taylor with us, Wave 3 Sports. But you're right. I mean, you think of a guy like Bill Mott, and you'd be like, oh, sure, that guy's won a Derby. Wait a minute. You know, and you're looking down the list.
Yeah, and not even – I mean, he's not around it that much even.
No.
But he's – you know, he was the all-time winning trainer here at Churchill Downs until Dale Romans passed him recently. So he's accomplished so much, but just not able to get into that winner's circle on the other side of the track. But he's got a big chance, and he's also got Country House, who finished third in the Arkansas Derby, who it sounds like will get a shot in this too. But Tacitus, I wouldn't throw him out. And then you have, you know, Mark Cassie, who has been all around it the last couple years. Classic Empire, I really thought was the one that was going to get him a Derby win, and he's got War of Will, who is pretty impressive. I wouldn't throw him out yet either. Yeah.
I don't know if you've done and gotten the reaction from the trainers back there. You even had conversation off mic about this, the thought that the 2021 Derby is going to be run without Lasix, that this is, you know, reactionary to, you know, what has obviously been talked about with a number of these horse deaths. But there's really no science behind it when you talk to people in the business that this is a cause and effect. I'm just curious what kind of reaction you have heard or seen out there at the track.
You know, we haven't yet. That's a good idea. We'll have to do that for later in the week. Thank you. Thank
no problem.
You for being our producer on that.
Sure, but, no problem. Shadow
yeah,
producer.
That is interesting. That seemed to be one of the reactionary things to a lot of the stuff going on. And yeah, whether or not that will make a major difference, I guess, remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, and the one thing that this is doing and is illustrating with thoroughbred racing, with things like this, and like Santa Anita was going to do a day without whips, and then they weren't, is that nobody's on the same page on any of this. This whole business is a collection of scattered, you know, differently run, you know, organizations, and they're going to have to get on the same page as much as possible. I mean, like I think the Derby's always going to be fine, but this, the one thing that you do hear, at least just a few people you talk to, is that nobody is on the same page with this, and they're going to have to.
And, you know, they kind of – that's what – isn't that what the NTRA was supposed to be?
In theory, yeah.
You know, I mean, that was kind of the idea of it, and it just never developed. Yeah, you're right, though. It's just a matter of trying to get all the people who have these differing interests to realize that there is some common ground, and that, you know, for the good of the entire sport, they need to all come together. And maybe this is an issue that'll get them there.
Yeah. Kent Taylor with us, Way 3 Sports. We just had, you know, your guy, since you host all the coaches shows in town, Scotty Davenport. You can tell the energy in his voice about wanting to go to that Division I level, man. Like, I think it's going to happen. But his energy, all the work he's done on this, you know, you know him well. It would mean everything to him.
When does he ever not have energy?
Good point.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think it's the long game, without question, to think, you know, at least one more year in the GLVC and then 4 years of the process of it. But I think they realize that in the big picture of what that can do for Bellarmine, and they're like the, you know, the front porch of it, men's basketball, but it's, you know, it can be big for all their sports in the university on the whole. Yeah. No, he seems to be pretty jazzed up about it.
Yeah. I mean, you think it'll happen?
I think so. I think it's too far down the road now. The discussions have been getting out for, you know, it's been a matter of months. This stuff has been floating around. And now with the Board of Trustees meeting coming up on May 15th, I would fully expect. I think they're far enough down the road that it's one of those things where once it gets out, it's going to happen. So at this point, I'd be surprised if it didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think he's, you know, he will, you know, Scotty will have had such an interesting career to be able to be a basketball coach at multiple levels and basically never have to leave the city of Louisville. Yeah, I know he was gone to like VCU for whatever for a year. Nobody gets to do that in his industry, man. And this would sort of be the icing on the cake.
No, you're right. And win national championship, yeah. A national championship in Division II. And who knows? I think I got to believe that what NKU has been able to do in such a short period of time. You know, you think about, they were a team in Bellarmine's league, you know, 7-8 years ago. They're in the same league. Now they have, in 3 years of being eligible for NCAA postseason play, they played in the NCAA tournament against Kentucky in Indianapolis. What does that do for, you know, I mean, just your alumni base and how much that excites people just to make that first tournament. Then they play in the NIT against Louisville here, and then make the NCAA tournament again in their third year of being eligible for it. So when you look at that and you see, I mean, it's got to just completely light a fire under all of their alums and stuff. So, you know, why not take a shot when you know that you have a base of fans already? And the thing is, their style of play is he gets his players in. You know, I don't know if you saw it, or we had a Mick Cronin said, and it was before, it's just like a random thing he was talking about. It was right before Bellarmine played in what was their Sweet 16 game. It was the day before that. And Cincinnati was getting ready for the NCAA tournament, I think. And he was like, yeah, Scotty Davenport, he's the best offensive coach in college basketball, the passing and stuff they do. So,
yeah. Right. Yeah. So I saw Mick Cronin's comment on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they'll get there as they get some different, you know, some more athletic players that you would in Division I. I don't think it'll be that long for them to get there.
Now, here's a real question. Are you doing play-by-play the bed races again? Is that still on your resume?
Yeah, I want to make sure I didn't. That's 1 week away. That's 1 week from tonight is the Kentucky Derby Festival Great Bed Races live on Wave 3 News.
How do you prepare for that?
It's months.
Stop
it's
it.
It's months of preparation.
Do you have a roster?
To the factories.
Like, what do you?
You check. I mean, you know, the spring loaded, and I mean, you know, whether you want to use memory foam. I mean, all those different things are things that come into it. It's a lot of preparation. You watch the runners train and push, and
you do no prep. You know. You show up and you get a roster and go.
Well, it's kind of the same people every. It's like, you know, it's like Texas Roadhouse. I think has won it 2 years in a row. So,
well, there you go. All right. Well, we will.
They're
we will
the favorite.
Count.
That's
the favorite. You're gonna Mike Battaglia that, huh? Gonna make him like a 5-2 morning line favorite.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, God bless you for all the hours you're putting in, and hopefully, you know, Ken Savage takes that into consideration when he gives you all that comp time you are due. All right, I want that known right here. All right.
Hey, congrats on the new car. I heard you got one.
Thank you. Yes, I did. From the Neil Huffman Auto Group. I don't know if you heard that part either. I got it accurate auction.
No, I did.
Yeah, no, Mike Stack, I bought it from him and Nick Dampier out there. You got to see those guys. Did I mention that?
Okay.
Yes. All right.
All right. You got it all in.
I got it all in. Thanks, Kent. All right. Say you, man. Kent Taylor, Wave 3 Sports. No short jokes in there. That's a little bit disappointing. It kind of breaks a streak. I mean, he didn't really take any digs at me.
Did you want him to?
Always. I mean, always. I mean,
like, what would have been
always fun? I don't know. He's usually really good about him. So, I mean, I don't know. He could have done something with the bed, like, you know, you can't call him because you can't see over the bed. I mean, I don't know. He's usually
could have hit you with how many rides you got next week? Like, you know.
Hmm?
Yeah, like a jockey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
An English-speaking jockey.
Yeah.
one of them English types.
Yeah. No, he might.
You give me crap for that.
Well, I didn't know. Yes. But you did. You of all the fake takes you've ever had, the Victor Espinosa was not fluent in English. Was your worst fake take
ever? I said I figured he did not speak English.
Oh no. Don't make him pull up the audio
because I never heard him speak. Because in the liquor bar commercial, he just stands there and smiles.
Don't go here. We have the audio.
Pull the audio. I don't care.
Oh, boy. Worldwide, pull up the audio with Victor Espinosa.
Because
you were acting like you had firsthand knowledge.
Because I felt like I've never heard him speak. Because I was on a bus with him once, and he didn't speak. So I was like, okay, he must not speak English. But he can speak English, apparently.
Yes, quite well.
But I didn't think he could because I've never heard him speak. So, and I've never heard audio, and then you put up audio, and he speaks very good English.
No, don't worry. I'm sure Cooper Hassan can find that momentarily. You're like, you know him? You know,
yeah.
Got it. Here we go. Here was your fake take on Victor Espinosa. Well, I'd tell you what, the folks at Liquor Barn, they were all over the bowl games. You saw that Victor Espinosa commercial about 8,000 times, didn't you?
Oh, that was funny. But you know, if you've ever met Victor, have you met him before?
No.
He doesn't speak English. So I just love the commercial.
He speaks English?
I mean, not like...
What are we talking about?
He speaks English, but he doesn't speak like a ton of English. It's his second language.
It's his second language.
Which I get. So I was waiting for him to speak because I know his accent's really heavy, but he didn't speak in the commercial. So I was like,
Espinosa speaks.
He speaks English, but he doesn't. It's his second language.
Can we just go ahead? You're just burrowing
on that.
you want to stand down from that?
Hey.
We went to the videotape right there, the audio tape.
I feel like I'm on Maury. The lie detector proved that was a lie.
We keep stuff around here.
For a reason.
Forever, yes.
For a reason.
Yes.
You know, I didn't know. Yeah.
Strong fake take, Eddie. It was great.
It was good.
You just kept burrowing the lower tip.
Hey, sometimes you got to down that hill. And that was a perfect example of
that. We'll get to you here, 267-9680. Text away to the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680. We can get back into that spirited discussion about UofL football. And, look, I appreciate Carlos's strong passion about it. And his, you know, I think there are people out there who spend hours watching, rewatching games. I also think that doesn't mean it's any way to predict the future. But you know, I'm glad there are people out there that are that optimistic. I just think you've got to set the bar remarkably low that if this staff were to get to, I think if they were to get the 4 wins, it would be impressive. I really do. And you know, we'll have all offseason to talk about it. The thing I just keep going back on is I just need to know why they're going to be better. I don't feel like I have, and this is going to be one of those off seasons that you may not get an answer. You may have to just see the team. And then you go, okay, this is why people thought the staff was so good, or this is why they think Satterfield's so good, or this and that. But I don't think it's going to be an impact of this recruiting class. They had no time to put it together. You know, they duct taped that together. You'll judge them far more on that. And frankly, if they do, I mean, this summer, I think if you start getting some commitments and you start seeing hey, they were also looking at this school or that school, that's more tangible than he's great. Trust me, he did well at App State. Okay, I need something to sell.
I will say that because some people fit in certain places and some people don't. So, but what I will say is I think he's going to bring in a fresh mindset I feel like the coaching staff that was previously here was too comfortable.
Oh.
They were too comfortable. They didn't care. You hear stories about guys falling asleep in meetings. Like, your coaching staff can't fall asleep in meetings.
No, that's not good.
And then you wonder why guys can't wrap up or tackle. They have no effort. If the effort they're seeing from the people in front of them is wrong, of course they're going to be even more wrong because they're young men that need guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I just think that these guys are – Bobby Petrino pulled in 3 recruiting classes that were in the 30s. somewhere between. So I think those guys, they're talented enough.
They should, right. There should be guys on this roster who are better than they. If I'm gonna, it is fair. If I'm gonna go on this class of players not being good based on the ranking, then it is probably fair to say, well, then you have to think there are better players on the roster based on those same rankings. Again, the talent is sort of the thing that makes the makes the least sense about the Petrino fallout and now the post-mortem on it, the autopsy, if you will, of the last couple of years here, is the number distribution to various positions that makes utterly no sense. How you have no tight ends and a million wide receivers, like 16 or whatever it was, till guys started transferring. Did you think they were going to switch positions? Did you not care? Like, that's the part that if I could ask Petrino, like, you know, if you get him in an honest moment and go, what were you doing with the numbers is what I would want to know. Why is there such imbalance in various positions? And maybe there was a good explanation. We'll probably just never get it. I mean, I don't know when we'll ever hear from him.
And it makes sense more. What was the young man that played quarterback here that left? Was it Jordan?
Now you're the highly touted freshman.
Yeah. He's from South Florida.
Oh, gosh.
I can't think of his name. But he was like, he was the first one to like, I'm getting the hiccup out of here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think is it Jordan Travis? Is that what it is?
Yes. Jordan Travis.
Exactly. So, Jordan Travis.
Good pull.
Yeah. I had to dig into, had to dig back through my Victor Espinoza box back there. But, but I mean, Jordan Travis saw the writing on the wall early, and he probably had a family discussion. Look, I'm in the meeting. The coaches are falling asleep in the meeting. Other guys
what
are doing.
What was the coaches falling asleep in the meeting part? Was that did I miss that portion of it?
But just stuff, I don't know. Just stuff that we've heard from people that were very close to the situation. You know, one game I heard like the players were fighting before the game.
And when you thought, okay, now when they've gotten rid of Petrino for the last couple of games, they'll. Their attitude would be better, and then people are getting suspended, you know, before the game, and they're not, and then the effort was utterly no different.
Yeah,
no different.
And I think these guys can prove themselves all over again. None of these coaches have seen them except on film, so you have, you know, they can say, hey, look, this, why are you doing this and why are you doing that? I need you to explain yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay, we can correct. These are correctable things. If they're correctable, they're here. And if they're not, if they don't fit, then they got to go. And that's why we've seen a lot of guys transfer as well. So I'm just excited about guys wanting to work hard again. And that's half the battle because we didn't compete a lot of games.
Well, we'll find out when they're actually on the field. I
mean, five games, Drew. Five.
We got it. Believe me, that tape's marked.
That's cool. I'm with that. It's like my Victor stuff, yeah. Hopefully that goes away. Can we delete that one?
I don't think you want those associated.
Can we delete the victims?
Oh, no.
As Drew says to many colors, no.
Do you think there's not 10 different copies of that if it were to get deleted? Don't you think Andy Sweeney and Cooper have the secret hidden files of everything we've ever uttered incorrectly?
They do have parents probably doom like file of things that he said incorrectly, I'm sure.
I think everybody's got a file.
All have files.
It's pretty much the Cooper's mixtape folder is a file of all of our mistakes.
It's like Wilford Brimley and the firm, you know, with like internal security. Like that's what really the mixtape is. It's like that Wilford Brimley. They have pictures on everything you've ever thought about doing.
Damn.
They keep us on our toes.
Hey, I'm not going to lie to you. Andy is the screenshot champion of the world.
Of all time.
He has everything. He should be in the FBI. He missed his calling. He really did.
Well, I don't know if he'd be in the FBI. Maybe he could be in security, and maybe he'd work for ADS security. I don't know. That's a big transition. That's a transition I can make right
it's
there.
It's better than the FBI.
Having that security system in your home makes you feel safer. First of all, you are safer. I mean, just that sign in the yard and the sticker on the window is a deterrent. Not to mention, you know, whether you've got video surveillance, if you've got, you know, you want to be able to have key card entry for your business. Keypad entry to your home. Something I really want to look at. Whatever it is, whatever your needs are, ADS Security is going to be able to do that because they're the same people we've talked about for years from Mid-America Security. Mid-America Security is now ADS Security. 452-6277 is the number to give them a ring. 452-6277. They're online at adssecurity.com. And when you get over there, tell me how to talk about them here on The Diener Show.
You're listening to The Diener Show podcast. Check out Drew weekdays from 7 until 10 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
broadcasting live from the Papa John Studios. You're listening to The Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Perrin Johnson.
And we are here, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown. We're your home for the NFL Draft, which will be this Thursday down in Nashville. We're your home for the NBA playoffs, as I'm looking up on the screen right now and seeing Terry Rozier being interviewed on the screen there. How has he played? Perrin, you've watched the NBA. Here's your NBA talk. Here's your segment.
I'm about to shed a tear.
I know.
This. You would have waited till.
How much have they been using him, though? I didn't. I'm sort of surprised to see him interviewed. He's averaging like 7 points a game, I thought they put up there. Is that?
Yeah, he's doing all right. I mean, he's backing up Kyrie. Kyrie's one of the best players in the world. So, I mean, I feel like Terry, as much as I would love to see Terry stay with the Celtics, I feel like he needs a bigger role.
He's outgrowing them, right?
Yeah. In order for his game to expand, I think he needs to go somewhere else where he could play more and flourish more. And I would love to see that in Boston. I just don't know what's going to happen. Unless Kyrie goes to the Nets and goes to decide to play with the Nets or something. Or the Knicks. And KD leaves Golden State.
What is his contract status? Is he?
I think he's in a contract year, I believe. He's in a because they just paid Marcus Smart last summer, and then Terry was the next year. So this would be Terry's summer that he's up for a contract. But I think he might be under the restricted part of the contract. Like,
let's see. I got to assume they've got one more year because 18. Well, let's see. No, yeah, they've got a number next year for $4 million, or that's the qualifying offer. I'm sorry,
that's what. Okay,
so does that mean he's a free agent at the end of the year? Because he's made, this is his. He's had 3 years with the Celtics on his rookie contract: 1.8, 1.9, 1.9. This year he's making three, and his qualifying offer for next year is four. So how does that work with how it works with the qualifying offer?
So the qualifying offer, he has the opportunity to take the qualifying offer and say no to it.
He's probably going to.
So he's probably
going to
tell them no.
Right.
But he'll be what you would call a restricted free agent. So unrestricted, you can just go wherever,
right,
whatever amount of money.
Bitter.
So what's going to happen is.
Well, and the other one's also player option, too.
Yeah,
player, so unrestricted and player option, the player can just say, I'm going somewhere
else. But a qualifying offer for a guy that you drafted, I don't know what the.
So what he's going to do probably is this, and you'll see this happen all the time. A team will sign him to an offer sheet, and the Celtics have the right to match it if they don't give him an offer that he wants.
Right.
Like, Otto Porter did that with Washington, and he got $100 and some odd million, and he's not a guy that should get $100 million. But the Brooklyn Nets gave him a ton of money because they just, had money to spend, and they had to re-sign, and Washington had to re-sign Otto Porter to an absurd amount of money because they wanted to keep him. So sometimes this can work in Terry's favor. It can work against the Celtics. But they have a ton of draft picks, so they can do what they want if I'm the Celtics. If I'm Terry, I go somewhere where I can play more minutes and get the money I want. And to be honest with you, he's a guy that's from Ohio. Cleveland has a ton of space and a ton of cap space.
Well, is Kyrie Irving? Is he?
So Irving has a player option.
Right, okay, that's what I thought.
So at the end of the season, and he was at the, last year he was very confident, like, I'll stay in Boston, like, this is going to be. This year he's been kind of non-committal, so I don't know. Now, if Kyrie Irving leaves, that probably changes what Terry Rozier wants to do.
Yeah, and I'm just reading some of the things on him. Like, Phoenix had tried to trade for him already. Mm-hmm. He's going to have suitors.
Yeah. Yes.
So he's going to tell that qualifying offer to get out of my face.
Phoenix needs a point guard. Orlando needs a point guard. That's why they just traded for Markelle Fultz, so they're going to see how his progress is this summer. But I mean, there's a lot of teams that need a point guard, and a point guard is the toughest position in the NBA right now, better than it's ever been, in my opinion.
It's so interesting when you talk about recruiting rankings. When they first signed him, he did like a year of prep school, right? Before he ended up showing, he wasn't even a top 100.
No, with the Hargrave,
and then he goes to Hargrave and goes off and gets into whatever he ended up being, top 40 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then now,
2 years of school and out.
Yeah,
it's an amazing thing for him because some guys need a little bit more seasoning, and prep school works out for people. If it wasn't for prep school, we wouldn't have Luke Hancock here.
Oh boy, Hargrave was good to this program. Montrez,
Luke Hancock. I mean, so when you think about those things.
Luke pointed it out one day. He went down the list of guys who'd been here, like they went to prep school. It's amazing.
It's a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I almost went to prep school. I didn't do it. I thought about it. But it's really serves its purpose if you're willing to put in the work to help you get better. Like Luke talked about how many offers he didn't have before prep school and then how many he got after prep school. So it really puts things in perspective on you how much prep school really works. And we have a prep school here, I mean, so in Kentucky.
You know, I sort of circle back as I was coming back from break here and seeing Terry Rozier up there and thinking about those rankings, because Jeff Borzello from ESPN has his final class rankings, individual players. And Williamson is all, you know, and I know he's been climbing. This is the territory he's been in, but he's at 23rd overall. I mean, we all excited about a Gahan. Gahan's 48th, you know, on this list. Johnson 74, Nickelberry 81. So four top 100 guys with one McDonald's All-American in Williamson, right?
He's been very dynamic. He'll be a great dynamic scorer for the wing for us. We haven't had one of those guys in a little bit. A guy that's athletic, lean, can get to the rim, finish over top on people, being like dunking on top of people, something we haven't seen here in a while. I'm really excited about him. I think his potential is going to be tremendous here. And on top of all of that, he's the one guy at the McDonald's game that every other recruit had something good to say about. Like, who's a guy that we should all be talking about more? And they kept saying him.
Yeah.
They said Williamson. They all said the same thing. So I'm excited about what he's going to do here. I know basketball's like 99 days away. Basketball season starts.
It is. Is there a clock somewhere that you've been looking at that?
Yeah.
You got one on your wall?
No, but I just calendar stuff. But anyway.
Wait.
I keep a calendar.
No. So you know that the tip-off, like, is the first game, or that's the first practice, 199 days?
Practice. Season, basketball season.
So how do you know this, though?
Because I got a little thing in my phone. So anyway.
I think that's cool. But, like, so you set that every year?
No, I mean, I just found an app about it, and I followed it, and blah, blah, blah. Because I read a sports app. It's like a sports wire app that gives me all that type of stupid, corny stuff. But, yeah. I'm a basketball nerd, so I like that. You might not like that stuff.
I do. I like it.
So, yeah, I'm excited about basketball season. I like football. Baseball's doing its thing right now, too, here. So, I mean, we're seventh. The rankings just came out. We're seventh in the country.
Well, there's like four different baseball rankings. But, yeah, you always just go with the highest ranking, whatever it is.
Absolutely, as we should. But I tell you what, it's the greatest thing about baseball here is I love how the expectation is Omaha.
When's the regional start? You know, this is a program that had never been to, like, the postseason, I don't think. And then Dan McDonald shows up, and now we think we just add it to our spring calendar, the regional, and, well, then a super regional after that, of course. And then hopefully Omaha.
And it's the expectation. I don't think we appreciate the value of our baseball program.
How hard it is to do what they've been doing. Yes.
We're just kind of like, oh, well, we're going to get a super regional. The expectation, I feel like, every year is
super regional.
We're going to get a super regional here.
Oh, we just got a regional? Oh, man.
We didn't get
down
it this
here,
time?
Yeah.
People are upset about that stuff.
Yeah, oh, man, what happened?
That's not talked about enough here.
I really think, I mean, I've said this before, I think there are three guys in this town who have forever made their mark on their respective programs. One was Scotty Davenport. Another's Jeff Walls, and another's Dan McDonald, where they, to me, almost invented something out of nothing. And what I mean nothing is that, obviously, they had baseball here. They had women's basketball. Bellarmine played basketball. But there was never this level of interest and enthusiasm and support for it. And it took the drive and the ownership of the program of those three individuals, with support from, you know, the university and everything else. But those three are, you know, faces of the program around here. And that's why I think when Jeff Walls was rumored with the Tennessee job, that I think it would have been a tremendous loss for the university and for their program to lose him. Because, again, I put those three guys in a territory that's different than most other coaches who have just had success. They've not only had success, but they invented the interest. They manufacture the interest with their own, you know, energy and ideas. And yes, they have marketing departments and all that, but they're out there driving the bus for it. Walls is, you know, buying people beers, you know, and tickets to the game. Dan McDonald I don't go a week during baseball season. I'll go a couple of days without him. You know, I get all the emails from, you know, publicity department, and I know on the schedule, but Dan McDonald will text me and other people, media people in this town. Hey, we play this tonight. Here's the promotion, you know, just a screenshot of it. I mean, that's marketing your sport. They not only coach their sports, they market them.
No, they do a tremendous job with that. You know, and you said it best, Drew. They took what they had, what they were given, they took it to a whole other echelon to another stratosphere where it's at right now. And I'm really happy and excited about that. So I remember when baseball used to play in Cardinal Stadium before they built Patterson.
Man.
And now to see that.
Some of those cold days out there with that ball flying off the turf.
And now you got Jim Patterson Stadium. And the crazy thing about that is this, Drew. Those tickets were for, you used to go to baseball games for free.
Well, you still go to about half the games for free.
And you can, but it's just amazing that you were given a product that good.
Well, now it's all the way up to $5 if you have to pay for a box seat.
Which is still amazing.
Which is less than like a JV high school baseball game.
Which is still amazing. Yeah. You're right, it is. But I just think that the fact that you were getting a product that good.
I think it helped build interest. I think it was smart to do. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the things that I think Tom Jurich insisted on, that he wanted that part of it to be free because they were asking, frankly, for money at so many other turns, that this was a good goodwill effort to give it back. And I think it was. And I think, you know, I know, you know, if you're Dan McDonald, you wanted to charge for those seats. But that I think what they've done now is the smart combination of weekend conference series and Kentucky games and like maybe the Vandy game or something. People that are going to go to those games want their seat so they can buy, they can have their tickets and know where they're going to sit. Where, you know, if they're playing a midweek game, you just want to get people out, come on out.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, like they did last week with the Thursday, Friday, Saturday slot when they played the University of Miami. I think that was brilliant. So, like around Easter weekend, they moved it up. So,
well, that's everybody does it.
Well, I mean, I don't know about everybody else. I just know about Louisville baseball. That's all I know.
Well, I mean, the ACC and. Yeah, I mean, it's just a league thing.
I guess
it's like I'm sure
it's so we had a Dan McDonald on Thursday, and he was saying it's up to the two teams. So
oh,
the
it
two
is?
Teams.
Well, I stand corrected.
So the two teams make that decision. So usually,
but almost everybody does this. Like, it's even we know umpires, and their schedule last weekend was shifted up a day.
Yeah, so like 95-98% of the teams probably do it because you know you sell. It's like, hey, you could spend Easter with your family or whatever with the team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, but between the two teams, so they could decide. So Florida,
I would venture to say that nobody in the ACC played on Easter Sunday unless it was a television game.
Right.
Unless it was a television game. Hmm.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know the rest of the ACC schedule, but
you
I would
decide. Why not? Don't they have a lot of seniors?
Hey, I feel like they lost a lot. I feel like they lost a lot. So
I feel
why
like, do you feel it? I just feel it. You know, I just feel it. It feels good. It's Monday. I
trust
feel good.
Your gut. Trust your gut.
Yeah, I feel it. Yes. Feel it. You know, sometimes you just feel things. I just feel that. It's great.
There's a lot of positive ions coming out of that one right there. Yes.
Oh, goodness. 267-9680 is our number to hop on in. Text away the UPS jobs text line. Maybe we can get some of those texts in here at 437-9680 and let you do that here this morning. What do we got there?
Let's see. This texter, I want to see Terry running the point in Utah.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
How about I'd rather see Donovan playing the two in Boston? I want him in the East, man. I want to see Donovan in the East.
I think Donovan's better as a point, honestly, than he is as a two. I think he's one of those guys. I think he's better with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, he does do a good job with that, and he's point guard size. I wouldn't mind seeing him do that. Also, you just want Donovan in the East so you can actually watch the game.
That's the only reason. That's it. 100%.
So you're not
the start times.
I hope he has a good 3 minutes in the first quarter before I go to bed. Like that's where you're at.
Like,
right
yeah,
now.
When do they? When's the NBA schedule is tonight? Yeah, they play tonight. They tip off at 10:30. Bye-bye. Yeah. I mean, I'm asleep.
And they're down 3-0. What are you going to do?
Oh, man.
Yeah. James Harden, fear the beard. Fear the beard.
But it's all for naught, right? I mean, it's the Warriors.
It doesn't matter. It's you know, like Bob said it best. I love how Joel Embiid and everybody's been getting into it with Jared Dudley in Brooklyn. They've made it fun. But
it's
the first round of playoffs, if you're not a guy like me, It's a hard sell.
Tough sell, man.
It's a hard sell.
We have another thrilling series tonight. The Bucks lead the Pistons 3-0. They'll go for the sweep. And then when you can that's a 12-point spread.
Yeah.
And then Houston, you know, actually only a 3-point spread out there. But, yeah, the first round is.
You're not going to bet the NBA?
No.
Not going to put 20 on it?
You? You're the sports handicap.
You're the basketball guy.
Yeah.
Hey,
Remember you said you wanted to bet NBA.
You know, I mean, right now against Drew Worldwide, if you don't know this, since in the history of baseball season, I'm betting $1,000. I'm betting $1,000 against Drew right now in my betting.
I'm betting $1,000.
Yeah, in my betting,
we're not betting $1,000.
No, I'm not betting $1,000. I'm batting $1,000 against you in the betting department.
Let's see, a couple more texts here. 437-9680 UPS jobs text line. Diener, get some positivity in your life. We absolutely were not coached last season. I think 6 wins is realistic.
Look, I want it to happen. Like, don't confuse this. I'm just trying to set the bar where I just don't think people need to go in thinking it's going to be 6 and be just vastly disappointed.
Listen, people, listen. I know Drew gets the association of being the Grinch that stole sports. I get it. I get
good.
It. I
that's
get it.
That's a good one. I like that one.
I get it.
The Grinch that stole sports.
Because like Drew's like everybody. There's just this like kind of there's just like this association of every time like Louisville loses. Oh God, Dean is gonna rub this in, and it's just it's not the case. Like it's really not the case. Like Drew really wants Louisville to win. I want Louisville to win. Nobody wants to cover bad sports. It's very, very difficult. And it's just so funny. Like, everybody goes, oh, you don't like – when people tell me that you don't like Louisville, it really just makes me laugh because they really have no clue.
Yeah.
But maybe –
sorry that I have to be the one sometimes to tell you that your baby's ugly. Sometimes you have to be told that.
You can't
the baby's
that.
Not always cute. Sometimes the baby's ugly.
I love you, but you can't tell nobody their baby's ugly.
No, but sometimes in this business, you have to tell them their baby's ugly.
No, just say stuff
if their baby's 2 and 10, their baby's ugly.
You can't say that. You got to be like, oh, I love its shoes. They're so cute.
No, the baby was 2 and 10 last year. The baby was ugly.
You can't call people's kids ugly, Drew.
I'm talking about the football team.
That's bad. That's good. I can't help you that one. Not that one. Anything but the baby.
Just walk up to Randfield. Man, you got an ugly kid,
no,
man.
You don't do that, but you have to do that with sports.
You have to
tell them their sports baby's ugly sometimes.
You can't do that. Just say stuff like, oh, little man, what's going on? I like your jersey. Like, you got to talk about
your jersey
the clothes.
Stinks. You were 2 and 10. You got beat by 50 points every game, and Delta made fun of you. Your baby's ugly.
Man, you can't keep calling people's kids ugly.
Can you call them fugly?
That I can get behind, but I shouldn't laugh at that one. Right. I should not laugh at that one.
Yeah, just checking. Don't want to mess that up.
Yeah.
I think that's FCC approved.
Yeah,
I
can tell you what.
I'm not even going to try.
Knowing your track record? Yeah.
Hey, you know me. I'm batting like 195 in that department.
You're going to get tripped up on the wrong syllable there.
I take that back. I'm not even batting 195. Yeah. I'm batting like 110 on those, so I'm just going to leave that one alone.
Yeah. Oh, I need to mention this. I teased this earlier.
I'm just imagining now, like, the scenario, like, somebody's walking down the stroller, very happy. He's like, man, that baby is fugly. Man, wow. Good Lord.
Good thing you're a Louisville fan, kid.
Yeah. Is that a hoof? Oh, wow. Just that scenario, seeing Tina walk.
Is that a dead walker from Game of Thrones? Yeah. What is that? Is that your child?
You need some dragon glass.
He looks just like his daddy. Oh, boy, I tell you.
I don't know. I'd sacrifice that kid if I were you.
Okay, I have news. This could be potentially devastating news around here. So gather around. This is Derby news.
Okay.
Brandon Lang might not be coming to town.
What?
Yeah. He doesn't know.
Can we get him?
I know you've got the promotion lined up, right? Are you working on that?
I'm working on it.
Okay, well,
I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll make it happen.
I think
don't
we'll have
worry.
A test case. Don't worry. But he texted me
it better
on.
Better be a good reason.
Well, his other job, which is caddying up at, like, in the Hamptons or wherever, whatever course it is. First of all, I sent him the audio of
the money he owes you?
Yeah. yes. And he says, OMG, how the bleep does a listener come up with that? We're double or nothing on something else. F Tiger, LOL. I have the bet. Double or nothing, he doesn't win another.
Come on.
Okay.
Hey, I told you he's going to go double or nothing. Did I called that, too.
Yes. He goes, better yet, since it was such a bad bet from a betting standpoint, from my hatred of him, double or nothing doesn't break 18. Okay, I'm going to need odds on that. No. You're not winning it back. However, I will still fly you here and give you the Brandon Lang experience. Next Friday on air, or wait till I'm there in person. Your call. And then I wasn't responding. Why aren't you answering me? And so then he says, I respond, and he says, might be missing Derby. I'm like, uh-oh, what's up? And then I said, why aren't you answering me? He says, the boss at National Golf Links is requesting, not asking, but requesting, which sounds stronger than asking, I guess, that I be at National on the first, if possible. So I don't know.
Can he, like, fly? When's the first? What day's the first?
That's, like, midweek. It's, like, so I don't know if he is going to maybe, like, try to come in for, like, a couple of days and go up. I don't know. I don't know if I totally buy this story, by the way. I got to throw that out there, that maybe he just can't. Because it does wear him out to come through here and drive hungover up to the Hamptons and go on the course the next day.
I have no sympathy for a guy who's going to hang out in the Hamptons.
Yeah, you're right.
If Brandon
carry bags.
If Brandon does not come up here, he's dead to me. If he does not come into town, he's dead to me.
Oh. You are just taking shots today.
Brandon does not come to Derby. He's dead to me. Yes. That's how I feel. His humor is needed. We need him.
Well, that's what I said. The city will mourn. Except for a couple people. But the city will mourn.
If he does not show up, he is dead to me. Yes.
Wow.
Drew will be half disappointed and like 95% relieved.
There is a level of multiple emotions on that front.
I realize that math does not add up, but that's how
you're onto something.
I think the scenario is half of them like, oh, that kind of sucks, and the other, literally the other 95% of Drew will be.
Brandon is like a human being version of Vegas. 2 to 3 days, yes. Like that third, fourth day, you're like, oh, it's too much.
I do Vegas for
get me out of here. Can I change my flight? Where's the Southwest options?
I do 5 days in Vegas. So.
No, you don't. You do five?
I do five.
Oh, man. How?
Five?
How?
The last two times, yes. The first time, the last three times I've gone, I've done the first time
I did
four.
How much gambling do you do, though?
I'm a smidgen in there. I'm not like a crazy gambler. I do a little, but not a
boy,
well, not
man.
A ton.
Like after that, I mean, three nights is the outer limits. And by that third night, like if I go there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's Sunday night. Let me just watch that Sunday night game and get back to even, hopefully, and get out of Dodge next morning.
First night, no sleep. Second night, sleep a little bit. And then detox with some wine and a stogie. Third night, go hard. Fourth night, I'm in a rhythm, and I just keep on riding the wave till I leave.
Like, okay, five, you get on like Tuesday and leave on a Sunday?
Yeah.
That's insane, man.
Yeah. And then come
too
here.
Much, too
and,
much.
And then I come here and then I sleep for like the next 36 hours.
Yeah.
I'm the young one on this show and I'm saying, good God, how is that possible? Five days in Vegas? I did like two and a half days. Like,
when,
yeah,
when I get off the plane, I go buy six bottles of Pedialyte.
You should just get Mojo Hydration. Use promo code Worldwide.
Like, six bottles of Pedialyte, get the IV going and just
have them meet you at the airport when you land.
Might have to do that.
So, Blanket Baker says, laying down at Derby, improbable or cutting humor is a lock. I mean, because he did leave last year and friends won. And here's the thing, like, there's no, I'm pretty sure Clinton is going to have to watch the race from the same exact spot he watched last year.
I feel
like that has to happen. And if Brandon were there and they didn't win, I mean, I think the mojo would be bad.
Actually, you bring up a very good point.
There's some mojo there to deal with it. We can't really change any of the elements from last year.
You have the iPhone 10, so you can like record everything too on your little fancy iPhone too. You know, like you did last year. You're the cameraman.
A fancy iPhone. I take video.
I mean, no, you just you get the 10. You were talking about it so much, so I just know it's a fancy.
Usually, I'm the one that's talking about the phone.
Yeah, I got a new phone by the way. The speaker didn't work, and they replaced it.
Oh,
brand new phone.
Nice.
Oh. Hey, next time you go there, tell them to teach you how to work the screenshot too, by the way. So you don't put out information you should. How about that too? Since we're on the topic.
Well,
can we get that figured out?
Yeah, that's a fair
point.
Since
you got your little speaker and you can hear now, how about you worry about showing them?
Don't put out personal contact.
Can you show the screen? Can they show you how to screenshot too? Why did you get that? Did you get that tutorial down while you were there?
I didn't. I should probably.
Maybe you should go
in those classes.
I hope something
with
else.
Like the 75-year-olds there, like, now what's? Why does a screenshot work again?
I wish you would have done that. If not, next time your phone breaks, let me know so I can send the reminder text so you learn how to screenshot, so we don't have any mishaps like last time. I'd appreciate it. Please and thank you. There you go.
How is the trampoline, by the way?
Trampoline's bingo. The grill went first, then the trampoline.
Yeah, they're both gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
You bring up a good point.
Yes. I just thought I'd throw that out there. How do you block out certain things on the screen?
Thank God I hear the music. I hear the music. Thank goodness I hear that. Oh, boy. But if you'd like to put the screen down and go, fishing in neighborhoods, Tarpon Ducky Fish and Wildlife, they're there to help you. And you don't have to worry about things like people putting out your personal contact information on the internet accidentally.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about that. But the Fishing in Neighborhoods program is great. You can find out about that. And, they're home to nearly 1,000 wildlife species in Kentucky. And the Department of Fish and Wildlife is a team of scientists devoted entirely to the study and conservation of animals that are not hunted, fished, or trapped. Be a partner in it. Becoming a member of Kentucky Wild. To keep Kentucky Wild, visit Google Kentucky Wild, but if you can remember fw.ky.gov/KY Wild, God bless you. Just Google Kentucky Wild and become a member.